They knew that 2 Chronicles 7:14 was still a promise from the living God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah and concludes the message, A Leader Prays, the Levite's Prayer. Let's listen in.
I was talking with Rhonda in the cafe earlier tonight. I read this morning what she was mentioning to me about Greg Laurie that happened there at the SoCal, stadium that he has the harvest in. And that the billboards that he had put up in the mall, certain areas, showed him holding up a Bible. Perhaps you read that this morning. Didn't have a crucifix on it. Didn't say it was a holy Bible. And yet they came in and they made him. The uproar was so great, they took down all the billboards. And then he went back and even had the company change them again so not to be so offensive, and they still would not put them back up. Isn't that amazing how the Word of God, the Bible, even an unopened Bible, even just holding a Bible, how it offends the world today. And yet, that's the only thing that's going to set the world free. Nothing else is going to set them free. And yet, that's the things that are happening because they're so comfortable with darkness. Verse 13. And you came down also on Mount Sinai, and you spoke with them from heaven. Remember the Ten Commandments. He revealed his will to man. And he gave them just ordinances, true laws, and good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, law by the hand of Moses your God. Do you look at the Ten Commandments as a gift? Boy, they are. It is a gift. Amen. The world doesn't look at the Word of God or the Ten Commandments as a gift. What's wrong with thou shalt not murder? Is that bad? No, my God, we're murdering people. I mean, look what's happening in Chicago. Listen, we have the Word of God. They're not a burden. The world says they're a burden. No. What does John the Apostle say in 1 John 5:3? He says, this is love for God, that we keep his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not weighty. No, man, they light us. They settle up on us. They're good to have. He says, and you gave bread from heaven for their hunger, and you brought them water out of the rock for their thirst, and you told them to go into possess the land which you had sworn to give them. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever pray anything like this? Think about this for a moment. I don't pray like that. Do you pray like this? Do you ever, they're praying the Lord, this is our history. This is who we are. This is what you've been doing. Man, they started at the very beginning of creation, and they're working themselves all the way through the old covenant. And I'm saying, you have to know the Word of God to do that. Did you know that? Man, and they're sitting there. He says, listen, you gave us bread. You gave us water. Man, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? That word want means I shall not lack for anything. And the reason? The Lord. He's my shepherd. He's the one that leads us beside still waters. He's the one who leads us to green pastures. He is the Lord. He is our provider. Even Jesus, what did he say in the Lord's Prayer? When he taught the disciples to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. That's not our idea. That's God's idea. He says, I want you to pray that. It says God gave bread from heaven. He gave water from the rock. And you know what? We've been given the very same thing, haven't we? Jesus said in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That is one of the first of the I am sayings in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, listen, I am everything that you will ever need to sustain your life now and the eternal state as well. I am spiritual food. I am your very spiritual food. He says, and to those who come to me, you know what? You'll never hunger for the world anymore. But you know what you'll hunger for? You'll hunger for my world, the world that's coming. Did you ever just think for a moment about heaven? I mean, it's always just a breath away. And I say that not to frighten, because we shouldn't be frightened. We have no fear of death. Amen. We're saved by grace. We're not saved because we're good, because there's none good, saith the Lord. No, not one. We're saved by grace through His mercy, through His goodness. We're saved by faith. We trust You, Lord. Listen, man, heaven is going to be the coolest place. It's going to be so wonderful. No tears, no sorrow, no death, no disease. It's going to be awesome. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, what do you think Eve's body looked like? And I said, what? And they said, she was a woman, and what do you think she looked like? And I said, well, I don't know what she looked like, but I know when I get to heaven what I'm going to look like, because when I see Him, I'm going to be as He is. Amen? And she said, but yeah, but what about Eve? And I said, she was very corpulent, okay? That's all I know. That means, you know what I mean by, what does corpulent mean? She was a big girl, okay? Never mind. You guys are tough tonight. I'm just trying to make you feel good, ladies. I mean, come on. We're so consumed today with the way we look, you know? No, listen, I'll tell you something. There's nothing in the world that can satisfy anyone like Jesus can. J.L. Packer said this, you will never need more than Jesus can supply. Why? He's our provider. He provides our every need. He knows what you need tonight. He knows what you need tomorrow. And you don't know what you may need tomorrow, but He knows. Not only that, He's the water of life. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it tells us one day when we get to heaven, it says that John said that angel showed him a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Ooh, we're going to get to see that. Jesus said on the feast day there in the winter months in John 7:37, He says, on the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. And he who believes in Me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Speaking, of course, of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing that all this in this prayer, all the incredible things God did for them, and you would think that they would never, ever walk away from the Lord, but look at this next verse. It says, but they, in verse 16, but they, our fathers, acted proudly, or literally presumptuously. They hardened their necks, and they did not heed Your commandments. They refused to obey. And they were not mindful of Your wonders that You did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. Remember, he's talking about probably right there in Exodus 32 and 33, you know, when Aaron made the golden calf and all that. He says, now watch this, but You are God, ready to pardon. And that is a word for you tonight. God is more than ready to pardon if we're only be ready to run to Him. Ready to pardon. He's gracious. He's merciful. God is slow to anger. God is abundant in kindness. He didn't forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves. In other words, they manufactured their own gods. Remember that sermon? What was it? Gods by Aaron. Remember that one? And he said, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt, and they worked great provocations. Well, that's a sad history, not only of Israel, that's a sad history of all humanity, isn't it? Turning their backs on God, refusing to obey the goodness of God, not wanting anything to do with God. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 130, verse 3. When the psalmist cries out, it says, if You, Lord, should mark iniquities. If you should mark, that's an accounting word. Okay, you did this, you did that, you did this. There's another sin. He says, who could stand? No one could stand. But there it goes on and it says, but there is forgiveness with You. Oh, there's forgiveness with God. And it goes on and says, that they may fear You. There's no one like our God. He is so ready to pardon us. You know, He is the forgiving God. And even in spite of their failures, look at this prayer. Look what God kept doing. Yet in Your manifold mercies, You did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud didn't depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way that they should go. You also gave Your good Spirit to instruct them and did not withhold Your manna from their mouth. And You gave them water for their thirst. 40 years, meaning the wilderness wanderings, loved one, you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked what? Nothing. Think about that. They were rebellious, stiff-necked, and yet even God in the wilderness wanderings, when they were always complaining and they were always murmuring about everything, God is so good. He is so gracious. He says, you sustained them and they lacked nothing. And watch this. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Would you consider that a miracle? 40 years old, this shirt being 40 years old, it looks good as new. Man, if we could only do that for our wives, guys, we would be rich. You know what I mean? They don't need shoes anymore. They don't need to go shopping. There's no school supplies or school clothes for the kids. Huh? You wear what you've been wearing for 40 years. You're not out of school or the home yet. Hello. You know what I mean? Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and you gave them nations and directed them into the district. So you took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven. Remember, that was a promise that God gave to Abraham? He says, and you brought them into a land which you told their fathers, go in it, possess it. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued, they didn't do it. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land, possessed houses full of goods, cisterns, meaning water cisterns, already dug, and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and they were filled. And they grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. You know, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, I believe it is, and you go in there and God says, you know, now listen, I am bringing you into a good land, meaning the land, of course, the promised land, the land of Canaan. And that land is going to be filled with wheat and fig trees and olives and honey. And God told him in his word, he said, you know what? You're not going to lack one thing. And then right after that, the Lord says, now listen, beware. He says, beware when you come into that land and you have eaten and you're full and your silver is multiplied, your gold is multiplied, and you live in homes that you haven't built and all of those things. He says, you better beware lest you forget the Lord thy God. We never want to be to a point where we're so full that we forget God. Amen? Because he's the one who provides everything that we have. We should be thanking him daily for all that we have. Listen, but they did forget. Look at verse 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and they rebelled against you. They cast your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets. In other words, isn't it amazing? Prophets God sent to warn them, but yet they killed them. And they who testified against them to turn them to yourself, and they worked great provocations. And therefore you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who oppress them at the time of their trouble. And when they cried to you, look what God did. Well, you heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers and you saved them from the hand of their enemies. In other words, you know that obviously you're talking here about the book of Judges, okay? But after that, they had rest. Look what they did. They did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. And yet, when they returned and cried out to you, again, look what God did. You heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies. Did you know that nothing has really changed from that prayer there? The cycle, that kind of cycle, doesn't it repeat itself in every generation? In every generation. Why is it that Israel, just like today, that people have to have a crisis come into their lives, Christians have to have a crisis come into their lives in order to make them dependent upon God again? You know, I don't want any crisis, do you? No. Listen, I like smooth waters, don't you? I like to be able to get in my lazy boy. Like I always tell you, it's conformed to my image. It fits perfectly. You know, I don't want a crisis. You know, I don't want that. Lord, I just want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be at peace with you, and I want you to be at peace with me. And it testified, he says, and testified against them, verse 29, that you might bring them back to your law, yet they acted proudly, and they didn't heed your commandments. They sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Loved one, to reject God's word is to reject God. And that's exactly what they were doing. And yet for many years you had patience with them, testified against them by your spirit and your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them to the land of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, for your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. And here's the reason: for you are God, for you are gracious, for you are merciful. I have found that in my life that, you know, no matter how unfaithful man is, God remains faithful. He can't deny himself. Amen. When we are faithless, the Word of God says, he remains faithful. And during that time, just like the children of Israel, God never stopped loving them. He never stopped grieving over them. He never stopped leading them. He never stopped guiding them. Never, not once. God has never, ever forsaken his people. He has never forsaken his creation. And yet he had and still has every right to do so. But he does not do that. Loved one, listen. You know this and I know this. All of us today, especially America, let's tune out everyone else, but just our nation, we live in a time of comfortable Christianity, don't we? I mean, it's just comfortable. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, Lord, we have what's called convenient Christianity today. It's just convenient. And, you know, instead of doing God's will, I don't know that all that we do the Lord's will. Man, if there's anything that we should strive for, it should be striving to do the will of the Lord and finding out what pleases him. I pray that we, this church, never gets comfortable and never treats Christianity as something that is convenient. Amen? That we walk in the power of another. He says, and now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who keeps covenant, who keeps mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us. Our kings and our princes and our priests and our prophets and our fathers and on all your people from the days of the king of Syria until this day. Look at the verse 32 again at the top. Now, therefore, our God. You know what I love about this prayer? Is as they were all standing all these hours and they were quiet and they're praying to the Lord, confessing their sins, they knew that God was their God, and they knew that God was merciful. They knew that their God was faithful, that he is great, that he is mighty, that he is awesome. And you know what they knew? They knew that 2 Chronicles 7:14 was still a promise from the living God. Let me read it to you. If my people, you know it well, I know you do, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Boy, do we need that. And you know what else the people, as they were praying, what they knew? They knew that God's judgment against them was fair and it was just and it was deserved. Look at the next verse. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings or princes or priests or fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments, your testimonies, with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you have set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Now look at these closing verses, because now they're asking for a new beginning. And a new beginning always requires another commitment or a new commitment unto them. Now look what happens. He says here, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation on verse 36. So now today we are slaves here in the land of plenty that you gave to our ancestors. We're slaves among all this abundance. The lush produce of this land piles up in the hands, not their hands, look, the hands of the kings whom you've set over us. And the reason? Because of our sins. They have power over us. They have power over our cattle. In other words, they were taking what belonged to them, and not only that, they were taxing them to death, the king of Persia. We serve them at their pleasure. And I listen to me, the last part, look at that. And we are in great misery. You know, it's one thing to be a slave in a foreign land, but to be a slave in your own nation that God had given you, how tragic is that? In spite of all this, we, look what they're doing now in their prayer, we're making a solemn promise. And look what they're doing with this promise. And putting it in writing on a sealed document are the names of our princes, the names of the Levites, the names of the priest. Now, what's wrong with that? In other words, Christians sign on the dotted line. You sign on the dotted line, as I do. If you buy a car, you have to sign for it. Amen? I mean, it's the last time. Maybe they don't do that anymore. You know, I don't know. But the last time I checked, they do. Yeah, listen. In other words, they're making all these promises. Do you know that we don't live life by making promises to God? Because we fail. But you know, we live our life because God has made certain promises to us. Amen? And God is a God, He would never, ever would He ever break one. And look at the way, again, the way they end this prayer. What an incredible way. It says there in verse 37, it says, we are in great misery. Great misery. We're in great distress. You know, God never changes. I am the Lord God. I change not. He says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed in Malachi. Listen, God never changes. His love never changes. God's word never changes. Never. It has never needs updated. It never needs to be rebooted, as you've heard me say over the past. Never. He cannot lie. God's word is always perfect truth. And you know what that means? It means that everything that God has promised you, whether you feel it or whenever it comes to pass, you know, well, Lord, you're not, nothing is happening. Oh, listen, His promises always come to pass. Now, in His own way, in His own time, the promises of God, loved one, they never, ever fail. And here's what you have to understand, and I know you know this, but the promises of God, they're of absolutely no value to you. They're no value to me unless you believe them. Isn't that right? In other words, I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about heart knowledge. I know with all my heart. I believe with all my heart, no matter what you're facing, no matter what I'm facing in this life, we are so comfortable here in our country, thank God. We're safer here. You know what I'm saying? But I know that God will never, no, never, as it says in the Amplified Version of the Bible, no, never, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will never fail you. I will never leave you without support. I will never relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not, saith the Lord, that you may know, never be seized with alarm, that you will never fear, that you will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Amen. That's what the Word of God says. Listen, we are always going to make it one way or another. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how even lonely you may feel. I mean, I do care. Don't give me, I didn't mean it like that. But what I'm saying is that He will never let you down. He'll never let you down. You may feel like you're being let down. You may feel like you don't know the way. But I'm telling you, the one who loves you and died for you, He knows the way. Don't neglect your prayer time. Go to the Lord every day, no matter how you feel. Loved ones, some days I don't feel like praying, and I just go and sit before the Lord. You know, it says, be silent. Amen? So I'm silent. I wait on the Lord. And if you wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength. Lord, pray through me. Lord, let the Holy Spirit now anoint me to pray your perfect will, whatever you want. Lord, here I am. I'm yours right now. Some mornings it's difficult to pray. Some mornings it's hard. And then some mornings it's like it just floods out of you. You know what I mean. We've all been there. But whether it's easy, whether it's hard, whether you feel God is not there, it doesn't matter how we feel. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.
Well, next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his Nehemiah study. And we encourage you to tune in once again. Amen. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day. And so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.